Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 4th, 95th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff, working on his tan. He's got his short sleeves on today, Mike Downey.
Well, there is some sun out there.
I kind of got a weird little flash there. It wasn't wet.
Wet sun?
It was warm.
Yeah, exactly.
But in looking over my shoulder, it looks like that's been taken care of, so we're right back to
at
it.
At least for the next hour.
Yeah.
By the time we're done, it'll probably
be in the next hour, who cares?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we're inside. That's all that matters. So.
That's right.
We'll spend a little bit of time talking this afternoon about the Explorer program. It's something that you may or may not be aware of, but the Sheriff's Department has an opportunity for younger folks to participate, just as I suppose most entities have got opportunities for volunteerism. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. And then we'll also get Mike's opinions about tree sitting. In Mendocino County.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. All Mendocino, that's all.
Right.
I don't think so. We'll find out, though, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Jim Bishop. I don't know who Jim Bishop is, but this is another one of those golf quotes as we lead up to the Masters. I don't know why I'm so fired up about the Masters this year.
I don't either.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to be there or anything. Quote, golf is played by 20 million mature American men whose wives think they're out having fun.
There you go. I like that.
Oh, my. The Explorer program, Mike, I know you guys have got a pretty well-developed volunteer program that in our area is referred to as SCOPE.
Mm-hmm.
That's, is it senior citizens?
No, sheriff citizens on patrol.
Oh, I see. Jumped right in, huh? Yeah,
yeah,
save that one. Okay. What? How does the Explorer program vary or differ from SCOPE?
Well, Explorers, they cater to a different age group, totally 14 to 21 years old, male or female. The idea is to bring these young people in to give them a working knowledge of what law enforcement is as possibly a future career. They wear uniforms, you know, similar to the ones our sheriff's deputies wear, but not quite. There's some differences. And basically, they're used for community events. They can direct traffic. Humboldt State, when they have the graduation ceremonies every year, everything that's set up the night before that stays in place, you know, they will have explorers up there that kind of keep an eye on everything, make sure nothing gets tampered with. And Clam Beach Run, they're utilized there for helping direct runners and direct traffic. And
manpower that you can throw to a situation.
Right, you know, and it's in controlled environments, and there's advisors, and in fact, our chaplain, our departmental chaplain runs the program, and it's associated with the sheriff's office, but it's not a budgeted item within the sheriff's office.
Which means they don't have any funds to be able to do things with, or you can have a little flexibility to work with them.
They garner their funding you know, pretty much through donations and through different fundraising type events we can do. We have a Explorer Academy coming up in June. It's the first week after school gets out. It's a week-long academy, and we're this year hopefully going to have it at CR, utilize the dormitories there, and the feeding services there to feed them and house them. And that whole week is a structured week of where they get instruction in law enforcement techniques and healthy life choices, and they have calisthenics and workout routines that they go through. And at the end of that week, they have a graduation ceremony, and it's mainly like a leadership academy for all the explorers. So we'll probably have 10 or 12 explorers from our post there. Eureka PD will be participating with their explorers. I think there's a few coming from Siskiyou County. So it's open to other counties, other agencies, and it's again, it costs to put it on, but we're getting help through the Humboldt Office of Education. And just recently, in fact, the other day, we got a very nice donation from Old Town Rotary and here in Eureka. And so we rely on that to help put this academy on.
So it's kind of an overall synopsis of what law enforcement is all about?
Yes. I guess it gives them a real taste of what it's about. That program has probably been in place for over 10 years now, and we have seen young men and women cycle through that program and actually go to work for the sheriff's office. Usually they start out in corrections when they're 21 years old. They start out in the corrections field. And some of them are still employees with my office. So we've kind of grown our own a little bit.
Do you normally look to these kids? I mean, does this give them a competitive advantage when it comes to employment in your department if they've gone through that program or if they've served as volunteers? Because I know it can kind of be a little dicey with fire guys because
yeah.
They don't have that much turnover on any kind of a regular basis, and it's pretty specialized.
Yeah.
It would seem like these folks at least had expressed an interest, not like going through the academy.
Right.
But expressed an interest.
Well, you know, the nice thing about it, you know, is the fact that we've been able to observe these young people for a period of years. And during that time, we know what their integrity issues are as far as their ability to follow orders and to get along. And they're staying out of trouble, because if they get into trouble, they're going to be out of the program. So we have a pretty good idea of where they've come from, how they're going to interact with the public, and how they would act on the job. So I think it does give them a little bit of a leg up on everyone else, so to speak, when they go through that hiring process.
It's got to be kind of interesting for you to work with youngsters who you'll say, okay, Humboldt State, hey, we need to see you, da-da-da-da. Sheriff, can you give me a ride? The age barrier,
right.
The age demarcations, is right. That something that is kind of fun as a little giggle and accommodated for, or do their folks have to help to get them to the locations? How do you coordinate that?
Yeah,
stuff?
It normally happens with something like that is they all meet at the courthouse, and then we have vans that we can take them where they need to go and bring them back, and they work out that whole ridemanship thing with them between themselves. And you know, when they're those that are over 16, 17 years old, they have the licenses and they're able to drive.
They can't
themselves.
Take other
right.
others under, or they're going to see you guys at a certain spot
right.
yeah, on the drive.
Right. But no, so it works out pretty well. And so we haven't had any real issues with that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the Explorer program, if it was supported financially to the teeth,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that's not a concern. What could you do? with the program and still be within the safety confines and all the different things, because you wouldn't want to have these folks exposed to undue risk, because that would be kind of silly, particularly if they're wearing the colors but they don't have a gun.
Right.
Yeah. You may as well just give them the old bullseye T-shirt and say, go out and stand in that crowd and see what happens to you.
Well, I think the educational opportunities would be broader for them as far as different schools, task-specific schools for them that they could be involved in. They're outside the area. Being able to go to functions that are outside the area, specifically curtailed or, to what scope or Explorer program is, and I think
it's like statewide things or just an event that might be in Mendocino County or Trinity County that now there aren't funds to be able to get
statewide
there.
Things. Mm-hmm. And I know there's Explorer programs, nationwide that they could be exposed to. We're able to right now with the cadre we have as far as deputy sheriffs and ex police officers and those that are involved, we give them a pretty wide range of lessons and things, hands-on type of training that they can do. I was there the other night watching them, and they were doing just soft approaches to people and talking to them and learning how to interact with people that they'd meet on the street, those types of things, a lot of verbal skills.
Eye to eye.
Right, kind of stuff, right. Yeah. And how to deal with people that might all of a sudden become agitated or adversarial. So, they call that verbal judo type of thing to diffuse a situation before it gets too out of control verbally.
So not just, hi, how you doing, walking down the street kind of a thing, but what's the situation?
Yeah.
What can we do to help out?
Same thing a line officer goes through. They have to learn how to talk to people, interact with people, and have an authoritative edge when they need it, but yet come across on a soft approach so that they don't escalate a situation beyond what it needs to be escalated to.
I would imagine part of that training is also recognizing that you're
the
escalating
signs.
A situation and apparently I must have said something wrong because you're kind of looking at me a little bit differently now than what I did before.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, recognizing the danger signs. I used an example the other night where I, years ago, was confronted a guy and he stood there in the back just clenching his fists off and on. I told him that's a danger sign. He's deciding what to do, and he could become adversarial physically. So those are just recognizing those signs and realizing what they are and being able to deal with them effectively.
I would think for folks that age, 14 to 20, that it's just communication skills, mm-hmm. period, still challenging, trying to figure out what's going on and how you say it and how do you express yourself. And then you throw in whatever your home experience might be, growing up in the Downey home. I'm sure you guys read Thesaurus's Encyclopedia Britannica and pronunciations in 15 different languages daily. Yeah. But my guys didn't quite have that same experience pool. Just to kind of get them used to what is normal, what is regular, what is accepted, how do you communicate, what do you...
That's a big key right there. It's just basic communication skills. One thing we see coming out of this is communication skills in the sense of respect for those that you're dealing with. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you? Those are basic skills that youth sometimes don't utilize enough. So that's ingrained in them to address people properly and to deal with them in an effective manner in that regard.
How do you teach listening skills?
Well, that's
Dad.
I wouldn't say that's more problematic, but that's a whole different.
Do you teach that through the entire department? Because I would think if you're in the jail, you got to be listening, not just hearing, but listening.
Right.
If you're on the street, yeah. If you're in the office, yeah. If you're in front of the supervisors, yeah. I mean, any interactive point, if anybody knows that you got a badge, you're held to a different standard.
That's true. And those are things that come through continual training, not only during the basic academy, but after the academy through advanced officers training and through experience. There are certain things that you can't teach someone. They learn it from hands-on experience. And, a basic academy is just that. It's the basics. And they really learn... The street deputy or the officer in the correctional facility, they really learn when they are exposed to that environment and they're in that environment. That's where the skills really come in.
Of course, you want to try to compress that learning curve timeline as quickly as you can.
Right.
Do you have videos? Do you role play? Do you that kind of stuff to help them, at least to kind of sense a little bit?
Yeah, you know, post Peace Officer Standard of Training, which is a state-based standard for the California peace officers, there are videos coming through all the time that reinforce that type of thing. We have briefing refresher training courses that we provide to our people, and we do some role playing too. Just to reinforce those skills. It's all that reflexive set type of mentality where you continue to immerse someone in that behavior and how to deal with certain situations.
Train it so you just react.
Right.
Rather than have to think about it.
Right. That's important.
I would think that could be life-saving at times for many people. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Decade of Difference presents a brand new competition, Innovate, a business challenge opportunity to pitch your creative idea. First step, upload a 60 to 90 second elevator pitch highlighting your business venture idea by March 29th. 40 finalists will be selected to move on to phase two. But don't wait. First 100 entries receive a free iTunes gift card. To upload your video and get more information, visit decadeofdifference.org. A grand prize of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Don't wait. Innovate.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information. Did I get all those call letters in there that time? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, some of the different challenges that are out there have got to be compelling, interesting, frustrating as all get out for you.
Right.
I'm thinking that you got this new TV series thingy, and you know, great. Now, you know, here's somebody else out there thinking that all we do around here is grow pot and get high and be stupid. A lot of us don't need that to be stupid. You know, function very nicely, just independently stupid. How do you anticipate some of those needs, some of those things that are going on that people have coming into the community? You know, you guys were probably the first contact for a lot of them. Do you see folks coming here with a certain mindset of what Humboldt County is that may or may not be accurate?
I see that more from people outside Humboldt County that aren't coming here have a mindset of who and what we are. I think people coming here, for the most part, have some idea of what they're getting into, because I think they're coming from different, obviously for different reasons. There are people that are coming here that want to be productive members of the county, as far as, you know, having jobs and, you know, working hard and enjoying the environment. And there's those that come here for other reasons, whether it be legal or illegal reasons. And, you know, we can talk about the marijuana issue. I think we already know that.
We beat that one to death. But you've got guys in Garberville. You've got guys in Oreck, in Willow Creek, at the gateways, so to speak.
Right.
McKinleyville, certainly a little bit closer to the core. As they have interactions with tourists or people of that nature, that's kind of, as we're kind of on the tipping, in the front edge of that one, that, you know, are there expectations jaundiced because some of the stuff that's out there?
What I hear, you know, you talk about the gateways, Willow Creek and Garberville, and Willow Creek is basically come on the radar in the last few years regarding their transient issues, much like Garberville. And I get emails forwarded to me from the Chamber of Commerce in both of those communities, and they'll have people that have visited their communities and walking through town. Especially Garberville, saying, "Wow, what a!" When their first impression is, "What a quaint place!" It's somewhat rural. It's got a lot of flavor to it.
Pretty colors all over.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Well, and the buildings is what I'm thinking here.
Yeah. Right, and their first impression is favorable until they spend some time in town, and then they get the panhandling. They'll see people hanging out with their dogs, and some of them are under the influence, and then their view changes, and then the emails to the chambers change dramatically too. I'll never be back. You know, how can you allow this to go on? You know, I'm never coming back here. So that's disheartening to these communities that rely on these tourist dollars to get them through every year. I'm hearing more and more outcry about that. But then there's a pushback to that too. Those that want to embrace that lifestyle and don't think that law enforcement or the county itself should be concerned with that type of thing going on in the communities. It's actually deterring business, deterring economic growth and that type of thing.
That would be legal economic growth or illegal?
Either one. Either one.
Really, having a police presence
What they're saying is by not being able to aggressively deal with the transient issues that are, you know, turning people away.
That there's an issue with that,
right?
Well, no kidding. I mean, who wants to be panhandled?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Particularly, and then let's say it's on your vacation. Oh, that makes it even more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's true.
With the family, I mean, you hit the troika on it. I mean, it just.
So it's impacting these communities.
How aggressive? I know Arcata's got the anti-panhandling thing,
which is being challenged in court.
Right. How much of a issue is it for your troops with panhandling? I mean, does that even show up on the radar screen as you're buzzing around from this event to that event?
Well, yeah, there is a problem with that at times. So what I try to do is, especially during the summer months. The higher peak times, as I try to do some operational periods. We've done it more in Garberville, a few times in Willow Creek, where we put a number of officers downtown. But our stance is not to be heavy-handed, but our stance is to offer assistance. Can I help you with something?
The tourist or with the
either one
panhandler?
Either one. To just kind of give that presence, you know, be there. So, and when you have a presence like that, those that are doing things that are not, let's say, in the norm of society for that area, they tend to move on. You know, we've educated many of the transient types that have a lot of dogs, because they usually have a lot of dogs, and they've learned to, which is good. Their dogs are leashed now. Most of them are licensed. Those are compliance issues that are good for the community. Now we just have to get them to be able to pick up after their animals.
They just need their plastic baggies, huh?
Yeah. And there's been some steps by the Chamber in Garberville, and I think Redway too, to provide bags for that. Now just make sure people use them and clean up after their animals. So those are all challenges. And again, community support one way or the other is vital and key.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 morning mass and 12:30 Spanish mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, you wanted to spend a couple minutes before the show was over talking about the SWAT team and their involvement with the arrest of those goofballs from Fresno.
Right.
The felons that came up here. Merle Harpham spent a couple minutes on Monday talking about how the license plate Wonder Machine came into wonderful benefit on that. But I think your focus was a little bit different about that same situation.
Yeah, you know, I really want to put out to folks in our county that we have a very viable, professional, extremely disciplined SWAT team. You know, and there's only one left in the county, and it comes under the office of the sheriff. And it's not a Humboldt County SWAT team. It's a sheriff's SWAT team. But what we've done, and there was many people very skeptical of this in the beginning, is we've allowed six or eight Eureka officers onto the SWAT team. It's highly peer pressured, as far as they have to make sure the team is very cohesive. And with that, we've been able to put out between 18 and 20 man SWAT team at any time. And that gives us the advantage of running more than one operational period by splitting the team. And with that, we have the team is integrated very well. They all get along extremely well. They work together professionally. I just can't say enough good about them. And what they did 2 weeks ago in that incident in Eureka did exactly what they're trained to do. SWAT team, everybody has the idea that their main mission is to go in and bust down doors and arrest people and pull them out.
Oh, I was thinking sniper.
Yeah. Their main mission is to surround, call out, and intimidate. The last resort we want to have to do is to have to go in and take someone out by force. Mainly, the biggest thing we have going for us is the intimidation factor. And along with that, don't be fooled to think that we can't execute an operation if we have to. Our SWAT team is very capable of doing that. They train at least two times a month. They do training, whether it be formal or informal. So they're a highly trained group of individuals, physically and mentally able to do the job they have to do.
Hand selected?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, they apply to be a member of the SWAT team. The team itself, again, they work heavily on peer pressure. Their peers put them through a battery of questions and answers and physical challenges, and they pick the cream of the crop, so to speak, the best that fit in with the team. And the mentality of the team, I attend trainings often. I try to go to all the operations that are going on and make a presence, and I watch these guys. And I couldn't, you know, I was on the SWAT team 15 years ago, and I was on the SWAT team for 10 years. The difference between the SWAT team then and now is astronomical.
You're saying they've upgraded significantly since you were there?
The training, the equipment, their ability, the professionalism, their joy to be around. Good group of guys.
And there's enough now so that you could have two different events going on simultaneously?
Well, not so much two events, but if we have a prolonged, protracted event, we can actually rotate them out easier. Before, when it was, we had a Eureka team and a sheriff's team, you may only have 10 or 12 people on the sheriff's SWAT team. It's kind of hard to bifurcate and be able to run two operational periods. But this way, by combining, we can do that easier and not have to rely on outside resources, like similar to what happened in Willits a couple of years ago, or down in Mendocino County, that protracted incident. We're able to do that.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet. Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.